Hold on, this computer.
Okay. So, welcome, ladies, to our 8-week workshop. I'm so glad you could make it. I'm sorry that Gail doesn't seem to be able to have made it. Something must have happened for her. I know what it is. She's probably still away, and she hasn't got Wi-Fi, so she probably hasn't got any data where she is. So, right, so let's just open in prayer so we can get started. Father, we just thank you for this time together. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us and open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to receive from you that which you would have us learn today and that which you would have us apply to our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this week, what I'm going to be doing is forgiveness. Now, I know a lot of us have dealt with forgiveness in different ways, shapes, and forms, but it's going to be slightly different because it's really all about us in this 8 weeks. It's about how we perceive ourselves, how we deal with ourselves, and how we can improve ourselves to be more like Christ wants us, how he created us to be. So forgiveness. Now, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I heard one day, I was talking to somebody, and they weren't Christians, but they said, that which is invested in you is greater than that which is offered in the world. Which is basically from the Bible, but just put in a non-biblical way, which I thought is absolutely great. And we as Christians, we like to be more like Jesus, and we need to be more like Jesus in our hearts, in our actions, and our words. So everything that we do should be, it doesn't mean we all clone-like. It doesn't mean that we all become the same. We all dress the same. We all use the same shampoo. It's nothing like that. What it is that we become the facet of God that he has created us to be. If you think about it, God spoke the world into being, but he created us. And he breathed into us. And each of us has got that. When we came out of our mother's womb, our first breath, I believe, was God there giving us that breath of life. And that was that's a part of his character. That's a part of him that he's planted within us. What we do with that is our responsibility at the end of the day. Whether we accept Jesus or not, we're still going to be held accountable for that. So, in regards to forgiveness, forgiveness and love are a choice. You can choose to love someone or forgive someone. It is not an option. It is a choice that we have to make. Forgiveness is a choice whether the person has offended you or not, whether they come to apologize or not. When we walk with Jesus and are called by Jesus, we have to do as he has done. And he forgave. Even on the cross, he forgave. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And a lot of times people don't know what they're doing to us. But a lot of times also, we will see actions in respect of how we've been hurt, what our past experiences have been, not in what actually is happening in the moment. So he forgave and he remembers it no more. As far as the East is from the West, they never meet. The East and the West never meet. So he remembers our sins no more. He forgives us that much. He loves us that much. And one thing that I've learned just through a few life lessons, and one was actually with my mom. My mom was always, I was never good enough, and I was always making mistakes according to my mom. And she happened to do something, and my husband got very upset with her. And we were doing a marriage course at the time. And part of that marriage course was forgiveness. And we were sitting praying, doing our homework, as we did, you know, very faithfully. We were praying, and God showed me this huge, big belt. It was a thick belt around Marshall's neck, and it was choking the life out of him. And I said, okay, Lord, what is it? And the Lord said, it's unforgiveness towards your mother-in-law. Anyway, so we prayed, and we prayed, and Marshall prayed. He said, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving her. She has hurt us too badly for me to forgive her, but because you've commanded me to forgive, I will forgive, and I will ask you to make my feelings and my mind line up with your word so that I'm walking in your way. And that was on the Wednesday night. Anyway, on the Sunday, we got a phone call from my mom saying she knew that we went to church just down the road from where she was working. So I got a phone call from her, and she said, on your way to church, would you mind picking up something from the home that I'm working at? I said, yes, no, that's fine. I said to Marshall, we're going to stop. He said, yeah. Anyway, I went in because she was busy. We couldn't talk or anything because she was on duty. So she just handed me this envelope. Anyway, we got to the car. I opened the envelope, and in there, my mother had written and asked us to forgive her for what she had done. If we hadn't forgiven first, we could have kept my mother bound up for the rest of her life in that unforgiveness. But we chose to be obedient and forgive her. And that set her free for God to work in her life. And that's what forgiveness does. It binds us up. Unforgiveness causes ill health. If you look in, just let me get it up. I don't want to be. I know. I typed it up at 12 o'clock last night. So I do know it's in here somewhere. Right. Okay. If you look in 2 Samuel 6, 23-ish, that chapter, you'll see that David's wife really got angry with him and despised him for dancing before the Lord in the way that he did. And she held unforgiveness and judgment in her heart. And the outcome was that she never had any children till the day, she didn't have any. And she died at the end of her life, not having any children. Now, it's not always that drastic. It doesn't always affect us that drastically. But I have heard lots of testimonies. A friend of ours, mother, had a lot of unforgiveness. And a lot of it had gone from unforgiveness, it goes to bitterness. And it, so it progresses. And what does the word says that if we, it says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit. And when you unforgive, if you don't forgive, you have a crushed spirit. And that dries up the bones, which a lot of times indicates arthritis. Because that's what arthritis is. It's the drying up of the bones. And this lady was so crippled with arthritis that she was bound in a wheelchair and had been for 5-6 years, if not more. I can't remember the exact amount. And the day that she met the Lord and she forgave every single person, she instantly got up out of that wheelchair and can walk like a 20-year-old, and she was in her 80s. So people who think that unforgiveness is okay, they just actually don't realize the harm that they're doing to themselves. Headaches, insomnia, lack of appetite, all those kind of things, not always, I'm not saying that, but can stem from unforgiveness. Now we come to ourselves, right? God says to us that we have to forgive. Well, Jesus said we have to forgive, otherwise the Father won't forgive us. Now, how many times do we do something and it plays again and again and again and again and again in our heads because we haven't forgiven ourselves? The key to forgiving is what God says. He says, I forgive you and I remember it no more. So every time you come to the throne room of grace and you bring a sin that he's forgiven you for, you're raking up those clothes. He said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I've forgiven you. It's under the blood. I don't remember it. Why are you bringing it before me? We need to forgive ourselves. And that is something that I learned to forgive myself for. There's many things in my life that I'm ashamed of, that I'm unhappy that I did. But you know what? God has forgiven me. And my prayer is when I learned about forgiveness, I asked God to take it from my mind so that I would remember it no more. And the only time the only time that I ever remember anything, even like now with my mom and that letter, it's because God prompted it because he wanted to use it as an example. Come tomorrow or the next day, I will probably have forgotten again. I will have forgotten the details. And that's what I've asked God. When somebody comes and offends me or hurts me, I forgive them as instantly as I can. If I don't, then I ask the Lord. At least every 3 days, I say to the Lord, Lord, is there anybody that I've got unforgiveness towards? But what I've learned is to ask, have I got any unforgiveness in my heart towards myself? Because that can cause just as much harm. You will never have a healed heart if you keep beating yourself up with unforgiveness. And the one thing that the Lord said to me about unforgiveness, not many people understand unforgiveness in what they've done, but they do understand disappointments. Are you disappointed in yourself? Have you made bad calls, bad judgments, bad choices? And in those, you keep bringing them back. Oh, I can't do this because I made a bad call there. What happens if I make the same mistake again? That is putting you in a box, and that's what unforgiveness does. It puts us in a box that prevents us from being all that God called us to be. And I mean, there's many things in our lives. I've dealt with a lot of things through marriage courses, through one-on-one coaching and training and things like that. So it could be overeating, drugs, alcohol, sexual activities outside of marriage, and even inside a marriage. We had a couple that the husband made the wife make love to the dog. Now, that is one of the biblical things that is a no-no. The other no-no, there's three no-nos in a marriage. The animal, whatever, the animal husbandry or something, okay? The same-sex sexual activities. And if a husband and wife, if a husband doesn't like something or a wife doesn't like something and the spouse does that, that is offensive to the Lord because you are offending that person. Okay? Now, that's heavy. But now take that and apply it to yourself in the fact of what do you do to yourself that offends God, not you. Because if we don't forgive ourselves, we are saying, okay, God, I'm higher than you because you've forgiven me, but I haven't forgiven me. And that's kind of like, it's reversed pride. Okay. You can have pride that says, oh, look at me, look what I've done. Or you have the other side of pride is, I'm too unworthy. I'm not good enough. Only by grace, by God's grace. But I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. But God made you good enough because he's breathed his breath into you. And when you gave your life to him, he made it anew. He made you anew. Old things have passed away. New things have begun. And as I said in the challenge, the spirit gets instantly reborn, but it's the soul that we have to work hard at. And forgiveness is the beginning steps of getting that right. So I would like you to take a few minutes. I don't know if you've got pens and papers with you. Where is my... I'll just use it here. All right. So I would like you to list any reasons or any things that you think you haven't forgiven yourself with, and what are the excuses that you've used why you haven't let go of it? So just take 5 minutes and just let the Holy Spirit just highlight things that you need to write down to deal with. Just a quick illustration of the, I know it's not, how can I put it, probably theologically correct or whatever, but one of the scriptures that God used to show me what I was doing to me is that, that scripture, I can't think of, I know what verses there are, but I can't think of which. I think it's Matthew. Could be Matthew 6. I'm not sure. I will look it up and I will let you know. But it's when Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. What the Lord said to me is, instead of saying, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister? How many times must I forgive myself? That's what the Lord said. And then if you remember, he goes on and he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." And what God showed me is that I was very quick to, when God forgave me, I was very quick to forgive others. I learned that quite early on, because in my family history, on my side, there is a lot of unforgiveness. And it is a life pattern. It is a heredity thing that goes from generation to generation. If I look back, yes, my mom was rebellious. And yes, she got pregnant outside of wedlock to marry the man that she wanted to marry. But her mother did not forgive her. And when she was pregnant with me, walking down the road, we lived miles apart, miles. My mom lived in Autry at that time, which I don't know how far it was to Weinberg. And she was about 7 months pregnant with me. And she walked from there to Weinberg to go and get some stuff. And her mom and her sister were walking on the same side of the road as her. And they crossed over. Even though my mother was pregnant with bags, they crossed over because they did not want to greet her because they would not forgive her. And if I look at things that have happened in my life, I could have easily gone down that route. I look at some of my sisters and I see the same trends in their lives. And I didn't want that to be a part of my life. So I learned to forgive others quickly, but I never learned to forgive myself quickly. And so basically, that's what the Lord, and then it says the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants. Now God said, you didn't find a fellow servant, you forgave the fellow servant, but you found yourself. You looked in the mirror and you saw yourself and you didn't like what you saw, and you beat yourself up time and time and time again. You beat yourself up. And if you go on, he says, okay, so somebody went back to report him to the king. And the king said to him, let me just get it there. The master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all your debt because you begged me to." All right. So that was all the outward. So everybody that I held unforgiveness towards, I had forgiven. But I hadn't forgiven myself. I had put myself above the king. And that, when the Lord said that to me, and then it says, in his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. I thought, because what does the word say? The word says that if we do not forgive, as God has forgiven us, God won't forgive us. That means a lot. And I don't even want to think about going down that route of thinking where I would end up if I don't forgive. So I've learned to forgive myself. I might not be as quick to forgive myself as I do other people. But you know what? I would rather forgive myself and be in God's grace and mercy and be doing the things that he's calling me to do than not doing what he's called me to do. And not having. I started having pains in my fingers, in my thumbs here. The doctor said it was arthritis. I spoke against that, but then I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, if this is a sign, what is it that I'm not doing that you've asked me to do? And that was really forgiving myself for the mistakes that I'd made through the sin, through misjudgment, mismanagement, whatever you'd like to call it, disappointments, heartaches that I thought I'd caused. I had to forgive myself because God has forgiven me. Jesus died for me. I have to forgive myself. Right. We're all very somber. But it is quite a, it's quite a thought-provoking thing to do, is forgiveness. Delicious. Now, who's brave enough to share just one? You might only have one on your list, but who's brave enough to share one that they want to deal with, or that they, or the reason why they haven't forgiven themselves?
I can.
Okay.
Where in the beginning when, well, Vanessa, you remember, I mean, you know, Glenn, when I got divorced, and it was quite traumatic going through, it was like 2 years long divorce with very, just was awful, because he just contested everything, and he, like, they kept postponing court cases, so it just went on and on and on and cost more and more. But I was going through so much personal trauma and stress myself, and I always look back and I think I didn't have enough left inside me to really help my two boys cope with what they were going through. And in a way, I sort of was unaware of a lot of their stress and trauma. And so I often look back and sort of really kick myself for not having, like, known that I should try and ask for help, or, you know, even speak to them more. So it's something that I've never really finished dealing with inside myself, about what, you know, my own lack of knowledge and lack of sort of insight in that department. Because I think the reason is also because I see the outworking of all that, all the problems in their adult lives, not Lloyd so much, but definitely in Dale. And it's when he's going through things, I really feel so guilty about the past and not having helped him enough.
Right. Can I just share with you one thing? Okay. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He goes into the throne room of grace. Well, you know, not quite there, but you know what I mean. And he accuses us day and night. When you feel guilty, that is because Satan is accusing you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit never ever accuses you. He never makes you feel guilty. He will always convict you. He will always gently say to you, this is not right. He will gently correct you, but he will never ever make you feel guilty or make you feel bad. He will only uplift you and correct you. Whether he has to speak in a stern voice or not will be if we don't listen or not, but he will never ever make you feel guilty. He will only gently correct you and convict you. Okay? And if God has forgiven you, the thing is, you don't know. You can think that maybe what you did is causing your boys to be the way that they are. But they're also adults. They've also got to come to a place where they have to take responsibility for their actions. Okay? And you've done everything. I know you. You've done everything in your power through prayer and through actions to rectify that period of time. You've got to let go of it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. That was quite a difficult one to share. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I'll go. I've just written down here. I think when it concerns myself, the biggest thing for me is, and look, I mean, I do pray and I do believe God has forgiven me, but like you say, we need to actually forgive ourselves. And a big thing in my life is my lifestyle. You know, the way I have led it in the past. And I think because of the way I grew up in a Christian home, I should have known better. You know, I should have known what I was doing. And I I probably did know what I was doing was not the right way to live. And Wendy, now with you saying, you know, you brought back a big thing, and because of my lifestyle, I felt very guilty about, I've got only the one daughter, but what I put her through because of my drinking and my drooling and whatever. And I look at her today and thank the Lord, she is just the perfect thing. She really is. She's never once blamed me. It was me who blamed myself. So yeah, I think those are, that is the biggest thing for me. But I do know that I need to forgive myself. Yeah.
Because also, you got to remember that every time you bring it up, I look at it this way. Every time I bring something up that God's forgiven me for, it's like putting Jesus back on that cross.
Yeah.
And having to go through all that pain because I'm saying, I can't forgive myself. Lord, help me to forgive myself, but I'm not forgiving myself. Do you know what I mean? So it's, I did an experiment last night, which was just trying to see if it worked or not, but it doesn't. And it just proved my point. If I wrote on a piece of paper, okay, I don't think you can see it, okay?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
And it just says, does this pen work? That's all. nothing dramatic. But I put it in water, all right, to see if it would fade. But it didn't. So we can what I would call whitewash ourselves. But unless the blood of Jesus cleanses us, that would never be removed from our lives. And that's what we, in forgiveness, we say, Lord, I forgive myself. Let your blood flow over me and cleanse me of all my sin and unrighteousness. Because that's what you say, your word says that you will do for me. So it's going before him and saying, here it is, Lord. Jesus, thank you that your blood cleanses me from this. And I can now use it as a stepping stone to either help others or to improve my life or to make sure that my children can adhere to better ways, whatever it is that he's calling you to. He knew what we were going to do before we did it. He knew that. And yet he still forgave us. He still loves us. He still has mercy beyond our wildest dreams. Okay, Molly, you got anything to share?
Not today.
Okay. That's all right. That's fine.
I have about a half a dozen traumatic, active family things going on that I haven't prayed through. Daughter-in-laws, children, and exes. And so I haven't prayed them through yet. So
okay.
I don't know which end is up.
Well, my first suggestion is just putting it at the feet of Jesus and letting him tell you which one to deal with, which is the most important to set you free.
Thank you.
That'll be the easiest. Yeah. Because part of it is also, you know, we end up like I explained with my mom having unforgiveness. I mean, my mom would have a best friend. Then all of a sudden she would fight with that best friend and she wouldn't want to speak to that woman for years. Okay, that's unforgiveness. But my grandmother was like that. I think my grandmother's mother was like that. So it just goes from generation to generation. So for me, not only did I have to forgive myself, but I had to ask God to forgive my family history and to cut it off from my life so that it had no way to come into my life and retaint me with unforgiveness towards myself. So there is just so many different avenues that unforgiveness can flow from. But if we forgive ourselves, you know, it also says, the word also says that we have to love ourselves before we can love anybody else. We have to forgive ourselves before we can truly forgive anybody else.
Lisa, I think that's actually, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think it's a lot easier to forgive others than it is to forgive oneself. And maybe it's the same. I feel it's a lot easier to love others than to love yourself. It's difficult when it comes to yourself, or maybe that's, yeah, just a personal thing. I don't know.
No, I think
I have to think of anyone that I have to forgive. I don't think, sounds terrible, but I don't think there is anybody that I have to forgive as such. But I can probably write a long list for myself, if it makes sense.
Yes. But then again, okay, Trace, think of it this way. All right. If you can't forgive yourself, think of yourself as a vase. Okay. So you can't forgive yourself, so that's in there. You can't love yourself, so that's in there. So when you pour out what you think is love and forgiveness, what are you pouring out? You're pouring out your own self-loathing. You're pouring your own self-unforgiveness into the lives of others. So you're not really loving them. Because you can only love someone out of the overflow of what's inside of you. And that's why I started off with, what is in us is greater than what is in the world. Because God is in there. And if he's in there, are we going to have unforgiveness, unlove for ourselves in there with him? He's not going to be happy about that, is he? And that's why he wants us to deal with us first, to forgive ourselves and love us first, because then we can step forward into loving his church, into loving his people with his love, which is inside of us. It won't be tainted anymore. So yes, it might be easier in a worldly sense to forgive others, because that you can selfishly just cut them off, or you can selfishly forget about it. But you never ever do that to yourself, because you're always beating yourself up. Make sense?
Yeah.
And it's from where the life of God springs forth, and it should be springing forth from our hearts. And if we can't love ourselves and forgive ourselves, how are we actually going to love others unconditionally and forgive others unconditionally if we can't do it for ourselves? And that's something I've been walking this road of forgiveness since I was 12, but for myself, I've been walking it for the last 24 years. Because when I came to this country, there was nobody. I didn't know anybody. And yet some of those things were still happening in my life. And that's when I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, what is happening? He says, you haven't forgiven yourself. You've put yourself above me. You think that I can't forgive it, so you don't forgive yourself. And I had to learn to bow my knee and say, Lord, help me to forgive myself. Help me to walk in forgiveness towards myself, love myself, and then to do it to others. Any other questions or anything else you want to share or would like to know about before we come to an end?
It didn't sound so good before we come to an end.
Okay, thanks, Wins. Thanks.
Before we come to an end.
No questions. Anything that you want to ask me about what I've shared?
It's just kind of interesting. Like I say, yesterday was Thanksgiving. And how holidays and expectations and obligations bring out all this family stuff. Like our family is steeped in alcoholism and religious warfare. One of in my ancestry, I have an Irish Catholic and a Protestant Catholic, and they married. So that's just an example of I've got this special aunt that she's just so dear to me. She's the Protestant side, and I came from the Catholic side. So on St. Patrick's Day, I wear green and she wears orange, and we get together. So, like, we've managed to just make light of the stuff, but it's not light.
No.
It's it's absolutely brutal, you know, the spiritual damage that was caused to me and then my children, this Catholic, yeah. Anti-Catholic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we think it's gone away, but it's there. It comes out. And so when you're dealing with alcoholism and spiritual warfare in a family unit of 200 people, some days it gets a little testy, especially when I think I'm going to fix it. So that's what I've had to really look at. I don't fix nothing, and it's not my job. And I've caused a lot of problems in the whole war by thinking I can fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's God's stuff.
Yeah.
My part is very small, but I have to be faithful to that small part and let God do the rest, because it's way, way over my head. The battle is not in the Thanksgiving dinner. There's principalities going on there that are, I look at it, the sin and the corruption, it's worse than this virus that's going around, because you can't see it. It's just everywhere. And I don't know what it looks like, but I know it can be deadly and blah, 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 blah. But I just think this whole guilt and sin and condemnation thing will kill me before that blooming virus, because it's just as deadly.
It is. And I think that's the one thing, Molly, is that you have given your life to the Lord. He's forgiven you for your past. You need to forgive yourself now. And the one thing that I learned is that speak when God prompts you to speak, but otherwise shut up.
Yeah. Because I'm just becoming aware of how much I, you know, about God. I know what I thought I knew, but that's intellectual stuff. I don't know zip when it comes right down to it. I've been wrong many, many times.
Yeah. But I think because you've read the word, Molly, and because your heart now is open to God, the stuff that is being taught incorrectly, or what you've thought was right, but it isn't, God will weed that out. Do you know what I mean? It's because you're open to change, you're open to hearing from him now, which maybe you weren't before. So that's why it was so breaking. I remember we had a family situation, and I was very hurt by it, and I was just going to walk away. I was going to say, that's it, I'm just going to walk away. And fortunately, we went to home group, And at home group, we were praying for one another. I hadn't said anything about what was happening or anything like that. And the one person came and prayed for me, and they said to me, do not break down the bridge that joins you and your family, because one day you might have to humbly walk over it, or they might need to have access to you. And if you've broken it, if they in need, they'll never be able to have access to you. And that person didn't know anything about what was happening in my life. And yet God has been faithful. You know, I went home and I gave it to God. And God has in many ways restored my relationship with my family. And I mean, and that is just proof in the fact of my brother being here. In a lot of ways, I always thought my brother avoided me. And that was because it's the religious thing, you know, Vanessa's the religious freak. So, but in actual fact, they spent quite a bit of time with us, which I thank God for, because it's only God that can heal things and move things on. And sometimes it's not, you know, I wanted it to happen yesterday, you know, but it took 24 years in this country before God brought it to pass, but he's bringing it to pass. And for whatever reason he's doing it now, it's the right time to do it now. And I think that's what you need to be encouraged, Molly, is that when you do things God's way and you look at yourself and you're only obedient to talk when God tells you to talk, it brings healing. It really does, because then your words will be anointed. You know, it'll be like honey, and it'll be something that they will hunger for, because it's out of the love of God inside of you that you're speaking, not because you think that they're wrong or that you think that you're right. Doesn't matter. It's because you're speaking when God's told you to speak.
Yeah, I accept that.
Righty-o, ladies. Let's just close in prayer, and then I'll stop recording for this session, and then we can, if anybody wants to still continue to fellowship for a little bit, we've probably got 15 minutes to fellowship, and then we can go our separate ways into the day for Molly and into the evening for the rest of us. So, Father God, I just thank you for bringing to mind and to our hearts the things that we need to deal with. Holy Spirit, I just pray that your angels of protection encamp around each one of these ladies today and in this week ahead. That as you highlight things, as they deal with things, that the enemy would not be able to come kill, steal, or destroy anything that you have put life into today. I thank you, Lord, that they would be able to see what you're saying, hear what you're saying, and do what you're saying. And I thank you, Lord, for every single chain of unforgiveness, every single chain of unloved, of rebellious thoughts, Lord, be broken in Jesus' name. Set them free, Holy Spirit, to hear your voice more clearly, to walk more obediently and more effectively in what you're calling them to walk in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, let's see. Where's the record button? I have to find the record button.